On the hotline, I have Congressman Don Manzullo live. Don, good morning.
Good morning.
It's, you know, I don't mean that it's a jubilant day because you think of all the terrible things that have happened over the last 10 years and the things that might still come, but at least it's a moment of rejoicing in this capture and death of a terrorist.
Well, Doug, any time the chief operating officer, the CEO, the big gun of a terrorist organization is brought to justice, that is an opportunity for Americans to reflect back upon what this man caused America in terms of loss of lives, the fact that he's responsible for deaths all over the world, the embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, the first attack on the World Trade Center, the attack on the subways in England, the USS Cole. I mean, this man's entire life, at least, you know, the last 20 years have been devoted to nothing more than killing people under some insane delusion that this is how you bring ultimate good to the world by killing people.
Yeah, unfortunately, the war on terror goes on, and this is spread out throughout the world, maybe in smaller niches here and there. Are you aware of a heightened sense of security now in our country? Has that been pretty much the word of the day that we're going to be under for the next days and weeks and maybe months to come?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Doug, the war on terror, you know, it changes every day based upon the fact that the new recruits come into the fold based upon information they get on the Internet. And the biggest concern that I have is the fact that we have these homegrown young men who are U.S. citizens, who are born here, who take upon themselves to embrace this type of grisly philosophy that killing others somehow is the best thing to do. And it becomes increasingly difficult because it's much obviously not an issue of boarding of guarding the borders that these people would come into our country, but now we have to monitor U.S. citizens who embrace this philosophy. That's how the war on terror has morphed itself, and so you have two fronts: the international front and the domestic front in terms of who the possible terrorist may be.
By the way, there are those I've seen on television and on this station this morning, my first caller of the morning, saying we want proof that he really is dead. That's probably going to go on for a while around the world.
It will not end. Some people would not be satisfied until they see his head sitting on a stick.
Yeah.
We don't do stuff like that. The President of the United States obviously took an extraordinary amount of time in preparing his remarks, which I thought were excellent last night, and laid out to the American people what had happened. The information that you know we're all receiving from various sources is the fact that extensive DNA was done. There are probably hundreds of pictures that were taken, and he was buried at sea, obviously not to honor him, but to put his body in a place where it would not become some type of a permanent shrine for terrorists to flock to.
Yeah, I thought that was a good decision, too. We're about 4 months away from the 10th anniversary of the terrible World Trade Center disaster. Do you think this is going to put an extra glow on that day of, I wouldn't call it word celebration, but the event itself on that 10th anniversary, this is a crowning achievement for the United States,
well,
but it's not the end.
In a sense, I mean, I was in Washington on 9/11 when that happened, and I mean, I saw the smoke and smelled it coming from the Pentagon after it was hit, and I was part of the thousands of people there on Capitol Hill who for about a half an hour to 45 minutes absolutely had no idea what was going on as we heard the sonic boom of the fighter jets over the city, and the rumors were rampant that explosions were taking place on the mall, etc., especially after we found out about the plane crashing in Pennsylvania. That plane was aimed at the Capitol building, and you think about things like that. And I had actually talked to people who were in the Pentagon at the time that this had happened. Ironically, Yesterday, I was at Lake Geneva with a friend talking to a structural engineer who was part of the team that did the independent investigation as to why the towers fell. Because there are deniers out there who say, you know, the planes never really impacted, that the towers fell because there were explosions on the inside. And the structural engineer said the temperature of the jet fuel was somewhere between 1,300 and 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and it compromised the steel beams. They became, in a sense, soft, and the weight of the building then imploded and it fell down. But, you know, there are people that will question whether or not Osama bin Laden is dead, and they have a right to do so.
Well, there are people that think Elvis is still alive, too. We just have to...
Well, actually, I saw him 3 days ago.
6:28 on the morning show on WNC.
He wanted his autograph.
Don, it's a day. I don't know how to word this, but you know, the death of Bin Laden is celebratory, and yet we should caution ourselves that this war on terror is nowhere near over. This is one giant step forward in this campaign.
It is, Doug. The war on terror. We're going to have to live with that for you know, I have to say, but for generations, because there will always be bad people out there to kill good people. And, you know, if there's an attack upon a military, you know, we don't like that. But at least the military, if it's done at a point when they have their weapons and they're anticipating something, that's one thing. But an attack upon innocent men, women, and children with no warning, having no idea what's going to happen next, you know, that's something else. But Americans prove that whether it takes 9 days or 9 years, people will be brought to justice. That's what I see taking place here. It shows the durability of the American people. I mean, Bill Clinton had the opportunity, and I'm not criticizing him, to take out Osama bin Laden when he was at Bora Bora. This was before 2011. And obviously after the first attack on the World Trade Center, but he did not do that because it would have cost untold number of innocent people. And so now we have the opportunity, because of some pretty good CIA work. But, you know, Doug, it brings back the question, how long have the Pakistanis known this? Were they not interested in bringing this man to justice? You know, we don't know all the answers to these questions, but I think it's quite significant. This was not a joint U.S.-Pakistani operation. This was not a NATO operation. This was a 100% American carried out operation with two dozen of our SEALs.
As a matter of fact, the Pakistani government is distancing from the scene. It was the United States action because they probably have concerns of their own people rallying on the side of bin Laden.
Well, they've got a lot of problems because it was a short 2 years ago when in north of Waziristan, where the Pakistanis actually handed over control of the government to the Taliban that were in the process of imposing Sharia law.
Don, one thing that I read since I talked to you a few minutes ago was the president did call George Bush in Dallas last night about 9:04. They talked for 4 or 5 minutes, and he informed him that bin Laden was dead, and the former president said, "Tonight America has sent an unmistakable message. No matter how long it takes, justice will be done." And there you go, that quote from George Bush last night. And your reaction to that?
Well, I watched, obviously we were all quite eager to hear what the president had to say, and by the time he made his statement, of course, it was all over other news sources that what was going on. But I think the president was very careful in his remarks last night, very, very sober, and he gave credit to George Bush to the seamless transition that occurs in a presidential type of system, which is not always the type of case, not always the case. The fact that the American people are unrelenting in our obligation and desire to bring terrorists and people of that ilk to justice. So, you know, you don't celebrate over the deaths of people. The celebration is the fact that by Osama bin Laden being taken out, it perhaps will make the world a little bit safer because the CEO of terrorism is gone.
Yeah, the ironic thing is this president ran on an anti-war campaign, but once you get in that Oval Office and you see the situation in the world, you may change your ideological plans just a bit to adjust to what's really going on.
Well, interestingly enough is that this took place inside of Pakistan.
Yeah.
And not in Iraq or in Afghanistan. And, you know, we can debate ad infinitum the wisdom of the United States being in either of those places. But it goes to show the fact that the American intelligence is continuing to try to figure out exactly what's going on. Doug, if we look back to when President Bush went into Iraq, 14 of 15 of the U.S. intelligence agencies were saying there were weapons of mass destruction. It was all confirmed by three different intelligence agencies of different countries that Hussein had bragged about having that type of weapons, that there had never been a complete satisfaction of the inventory that he had filed after the first Gulf War, that he had gassed tens of thousands, if not more, of Kurds with weapons of mass destruction. So you look back and you weigh all the evidence that you have, and then you go in there and you make a decision. Well, here's a situation where President Obama said that as of last August, there had been some kind of a tip to the effect that Osama bin Laden had in fact been at that particular palace or house, wherever it was. But you have to ask yourself this question. It's a half an hour north of the biggest city, one of the biggest cities in Pakistan. Did the Pakistanis know? Did they purposely not tell the president, you know, what was going on between the two governments? In the end, Doug, I think it's very significant. This was not a joint exercise. This was not a joint operation. That it was 24 American SEALs, at least two U.S. helicopters that went in, and Americans were 100% in charge of this operation.
Congressman Manzullo, we're plumb out of time. I always appreciate your time, and stay well, and I'm just so happy we were able to talk to you live this morning.
Same here, Doug.
I appreciate it, and we'll keep in touch.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Congressman Don Manzullo on WNTA McDuffie.